The Rector's Daughter, written by Jean Fullerton and read by Charlie Sanderson. Drumming her fingers silently against the ruby-coloured twill of her skirt, Charlotte Hatton, daughter of Reverend Percival Hatton, Rector of St. Mary's, Rotherhithe, stared through her parlour window at the great swathe of people making their way down Church Street toward Cow Yard. In the reflection, she saw Mrs. Palmer reposition the curly ostrich feathers in her new hat for the fourth time in the overmantel mirror.
"Mama!"
whined Mrs. Palmer's 9-year-old son Arthur, tugging at her sleeve.
"I want to go now!"
Ignoring the boy, Mrs. Palmer pulled the long hatpin out yet again and slid it back at a different angle. Standing a little taller than Charlotte's 5'3", Mrs. Palmer must have been in her early 40s, with only a few wisps of grey running through her dark brown hair. She was slender to the point of being thin, so, unlike Charlotte, she didn't have to fiddle with the fichu across her chest to keep her neckline respectable. She had been one of their first visitors when Charlotte and her father had taken up the living just over a year ago. And now, much to her father's delight, was an almost daily visitor to the rectory. Arthur left his mother's side. He pushed in front of Charlotte and pressed his nose against the pane, his breath forming a steaming patch on the chilly glass.
"Do hurry, Mama,"
he said, twisting back to look at his mother.
"If we don't get there soon, there won't be any space."
Going by the stream of people passing the window, Charlotte was afraid Arthur might be right. After all, it wasn't every day you're able to witness history. Today, 2nd of March, in the year of our Lord 1825, was the day Mr. Brunel was breaking the soil for an engineering feat which had never been attempted before. Tunnelling under London's mighty river, the Thames. Although it would take some 3 years to build, when it was complete, carriages would travel between where they were in Rotherhithe to Wapping on the north bank. Unsurprisingly, many thought it folly and doomed to failure. But Charlotte sided with those who called the project the wonder of the age and vowed to be one of the first to walk from one side of the river to the other through Mr. Brunel's subterranean tunnel.
"There will not be any spaces,"
Mrs. Palmer replied as she adjusted the feather yet again. Finally satisfied, she turned and smiled.
"I think we are now ready," she said,
picking up her parasol and holding her other hand out for Arthur. The boy took it, and they walked through to the hallway. Charlotte opened the front door just as St. Mary's tenor bell sounded. Stepping out into Church Street, she and her companions plunged into the sea of people togged up in their Sunday best. They pushed through the crowds, sidestepping the barefooted children dodging between them. Costermongers, their stalls laden with oysters and coffee, and pie vendors hoping to make a bob or two, lined their route to Cow Yard. Their numbers were probably matched by pickpockets with the same aim. In addition to the usual street traders, a new breed of merchant mingled amongst them. The souvenir hawker selling cheap plaster statues and pins with images of what the entrance to the Thames Tunnel would look like when it was completed in 3 years.